Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to see you all on this Saturday night. Amen. You know, over the last couple of weeks, it's been a lot of things going on, but you know, even up to two weekends ago when I spoke about the last part of the Holy Spirit, there was something that the Lord really put very heavy in my heart. And actually tonight and tomorrow will kind of go hand in hand. So it's terrible for those who aren't here. But for you scholars that come to church on a Saturday night, you will be doubly blessed. Amen. It's all right. And the religious people get upset with me. That's okay. They will also be blessed. Don't worry. Amen. All right. You know, when we planted the church in the beginning, which was 6 years ago now, I can't believe it's been 6 years. You know, I remember having a tremendous amount of vision for what God wanted to do in the city and in our church. And one of the things that I believed very firmly was that God would do a mighty work in Vero Beach and that we would be a part of that work. There are many churches, and many churches have an incredible effect in the community, and we're very grateful to serve alongside those churches. But we know that we have a part to play. And when God spoke to me about coming to Vero, he was very clear with me about what I was supposed to do. The truth is, as time goes on, it becomes even more clear what God wants us to do. But there's one thing he told me that I really tonight want to share with you again. Now, when I say again, is I want to share with you the vision that he's given us for Vero Beach. Different message, but the same kind of idea. And God spoke to me, you know, through a very familiar passage of scripture. I want to show you one of the reasons why I believe Oceans Unite is here. And whoever else, anyone else in the body of Christ that feels called to do what we're going to be doing, you know, so tonight's message is very much a now prophetic style message for this church and for the community. And you can take it wherever else you are in the world. Take it for your community because it applies. So, you know, one thing that I believe very firmly is that God wants you and I to do his will on earth. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says that he gave them dominion. You know, he gave them dominion. The Bible calls you and I kings and priests unto our God, which is really powerful, because if we had to really get into that, you would understand that you have a twofold function as a Christian, to be both a priest and a king. Not one or the other, both. Because in order for you to be effective, you have to be both kingly and priestly. God wants you to operate with a king's anointing to take ground and have authority. And he also wants you to operate as a priest unto our God. He wants you to go to him and worship him and exalt him and do priestly duties, just like the priests used to in the days of old. So it's very clear that God created us with a purpose to both have dominion, to take authority, and at the same time to also be priests, to come to him, to worship him, to have relationship with him. One of my favorite scriptures in Genesis is where it says, and God walked in the cool of the day in the garden, where he speaks about how he went into the garden in the cool of the day, and it sounds like he would walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. And I'm like, man, that's what I want, you know. I just want to walk with God in the garden. And the truth is that you and I actually can do that. We just can't see him with our natural eyes, but he actually is with us because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So I'm going to go to the book of Joshua. We're going to be spending some time there today in a very familiar story so that I can show you what I believe God wants us to do. You see, before you can take a city for a kingdom, for the kingdom of God, there is a foundation that must be laid. And that foundation is extremely important. And so I'm going to share with you from the story of Joshua how I believe God wants to work here in Vero Beach. Is that okay? So let's go to Joshua 1, verse number 1. after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I believe that God wants us as a people to take the ground that he's given us. I believe that God wants us to take the ground, to take the city that he's given us. God gave the children of Israel a territory. He said to the children of Israel, this is the land that I'm going to give you. And when he gave it to them, that land looked great with milk and honeys, but there were some giants in the land. Are you with me? So it wasn't necessarily going to be an easy task, although God said to them right from the beginning, this land is yours. I'm giving it to you. And I love the way the Bible says that every place that your feet shall tread, I have given it unto you. I really believe that a Christian is supposed to walk with that same promise. Everywhere that you go, you are supposed to take ground for the kingdom of God. Everywhere that you go, you are supposed to make a difference for the kingdom. And I believe that this church, and whoever else wants to believe this too with us, I believe that God has given this city to us. You don't have to believe it, I'll believe it. I believe that he has given it to us. I believe he has given it to the Christians in this community. The Christians that desire to see the kingdom expanded, the Bible says he has given that territory to us. But the fact of the matter is that it's not always so easy, because we have to face different challenges and different things. And I want you to know that even in your own personal life, not just as a territorial thing in terms of church, what I mean by that is like the kingdom of God being expanded, but even in your own life, there are things that God wants you to overcome and have victory over in your own personal life. So when I speak about this today, I'm going to be speaking from the context of the body of Christ, the church, but also apply it to yourself. But I'm on a bit of a mission. Is that okay? So let's go to Joshua 6, verse number 1. I remember when God spoke to me about coming to Vero Beach, we went to a conference in Orlando. And at this conference in Orlando, Naomi was at that moment not 100% on board with us planting the church in Vero. She believed that God had spoken to me, but she felt that the time wasn't right. So we went to Vero, and there was a young prophetic guy. Long story, I'm going to cut it short. But we ended up standing in front of someone in a very miraculous way. And he came up to us and he stopped us and he said, your bags are already packed. He said, you have already left your residence. And he said a whole lot of stuff, but he made a comment, and this is what I want to share with you. In the comment, he said this. He said, you have dirt under your nails. He said, you're going to farm. But when you speak about dirt, it means you've already been plowing the ground. Are you with me? You see, there is a preparation that must take place before you can actually reap a harvest. The soil has to be prepared before we can really be effective. And if you look at the kingdom, oftentimes it's compared to a tree. You will know them by their fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And he gave us this word, and he said to us that you're gonna go out, you're gonna farm, you're gonna plant the church, all that stuff. But he made that comment, you've already got dirt under your nails. And I remember thinking to myself, my nails are actually pretty clean. Okay, that's not what I thought. But what I did think was, what does that mean? And I've thought of many different things that it could mean, but I really believe that God has made it very clear to me now. And so I'm going to show you what it means. I'm going to show you what I believe it means for us. There is a preparation. There is a laboring that must first take place in any farmer's life before that harvest comes and becomes fruitful. you know, the farmers go out, they prepare the ground, they plant the seeds, and they pray for the rain. If God says you're going to go and you're going to farm, you must go and do it. You must go and prepare the ground, plant the seeds, do the work, and then pray for the rain. And that's exactly what the kingdom of God, what we as the church, and when I say church, I'm not necessarily speaking about us only, okay? So don't get upset with me, but God is speaking to oceans and anybody else. Is that okay? All right. So now we know that Moses is dead. Joshua's been told that he's going to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And he comes to the city of Jericho. And Jericho was not an ordinary task, because Jericho was a place that was really well protected. And it seemed impossible for the children of Israel to take this ground. You see, oftentimes, even for us as a church, it may seem impossible for us to really make a difference in our community. How can we really make a difference? You see, as a church, I have absolutely zero desire to go after other Christians. I'm going to say that again. As a church, I have zero desire to seek out after other Christians. I want unbelievers. I want the backslidden, the lukewarm, those that don't know God. I want us to go into the community and change the figures of non-saved and saved. I want the report to come back that says, listen, last year there was so many unsaved and so many saved. This year something happened in Vero Beach. And in order for us to do that, we have to do something to the ground before we'll see that harvest. So when the children of Israel went and they had to face Jericho, it seemed a daunting task. Joshua 6 verse number 1 says this. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. So they knew they were coming. In other words, listen, they understood that there was a threat. Now, I need you to understand something. In the New Testament, in the church age, we understand that the enemy is not an individual, that the enemy is an enemy in the spirit. So our labor will be in the spirit. And I'll get to that tonight in a more in-depth way. But I just wanted to say that because I don't want you to think that now I'm looking at the world as the enemy. Amen? All right. Now Jericho was securely shut because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, watch this now. See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. The first thing I want you to understand is that if God has a desire for us to take the city, to see our city transform, for people to get saved, for lives to get impacted, for the lukewarm to get on fire again, for those that have lost their passion and fire to serve the Lord again. If we want to see that happen, the first thing that has to happen is God will give us a word. I believe that I have the word. Do you have the word? Do you believe it? God spoke to me long time ago about coming to this city and planting a church, and we would see this city changed. We would see this city saved. And I know He's given that word to many of you in this church and even in others in the city. He has given a word of revival to the people. Are you with me? That's step number one. God comes to Joshua, gives Joshua the word. Joshua believes the word. But when God comes and there's a challenge in front of him, in other words, it's starting to become daunting. Things don't seem to be going as planned. The revival hasn't come as quickly as we expect. The city hasn't transformed the way we want it to. God comes and says, see, I want you to see it. I want you to see what I have planned for you. And he says to Joshua, see, I've given the city into your hands. The problem with so many of us is we don't see it. And if you can't see it, you will never have it. You have to see the plan of God. So he says to Joshua, I want you to see it, Joshua. I want you to see that I'm going to give the city to you. Now, Joshua, remember last week I spoke to you, or two weekends I spoke to you about the language of the Spirit. The language of the Spirit is visions and dreams. The language of the Spirit is He'll speak in your inner man and He'll show you things. Many times those things will come in the form of images or visions or something like that. So the Holy Spirit will show you what He wants to do in Vero Beach. Come on, somebody. I need somebody to be in agreement with me this morning. So let me ask you the question before we proceed. What do you see for our city? What do you see? Do you see the lost getting saved? Do you see our defense force, our police force on fire for Jesus? What do you see? I know what I see. I see the city transformed. I see our schools having revival. I see in businesses people preaching the gospel. I see marriages getting restored. I see families coming to Jesus. That's what I see. Amen? So the question was, he says to him, first thing he says to him is, you have to see it. See, I have given Jericho into your hands, its kings and the mighty men of valor. Now, I was going to leave this for later on, but let's stop there because I need to put you into, so that you can kind of try and figure out what I'm trying to say. All right, let's quickly go. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Let's go to verse number 12. Okay. Because some of you are like, what has that got to do with the city? I'll explain it to you now. The Bible says, Ephesians 6, verse number 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let's stop there. You must understand that in the days of old, they would have to take ground in the natural. But in this day, the battle is not against people. The battle is against spiritual forces. These spiritual forces desire to possess a city, to possess a state, to possess a nation. That's how it works. That's why the Bible speaks of principalities, a certain rank of spirit. Powers, a certain rank of spirit. Spiritual hosts of wickedness, a certain rank of spirit. Now, I could really get technical with you, but we don't want to do that tonight. The reason I need you to understand that is that we have to be able to see that God wants to take the city, and it's not going to stay in the hands of the enemy. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what do we have to do in order for us to effectively impact our city? We first have to do some things in the natural before we'll see it manifest in the spirit. Are you with me? But I want you to understand that that's who the battle is against. It's not against individuals, although it is for the lives of individuals. So when you pray for your child, don't pray against your child. Pray against the spirit that's affecting your child. Because it's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, all the different spiritual forces. I remember when my daughter was very young in school, there was a bully in her class. And the bully would come and always bully her. So what did I do? Day after day, this kid would come and start to really bully her badly, like really bad. And I knew that what am I going to go and tell the teacher? I'm going to go and fight with the kid. Nothing's going to work. What is it that's busy trying to do this to my child? So I did what I needed to do. I went in the spirit. I began to intercede against the child. Oh, you evil child, you're coming to strike you down. I didn't do that. Are you with me? What I did was I said, Lord, that spirit that is coming against my daughter, that wants to affect her character, that wants to break her down, I take authority over that spirit in the mighty name of Jesus, and I break its power. I did it one day. I did it 2 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and eventually this kid just stopped bothering her on his own. He didn't even know why. Are you with me? I knew why, because I was doing warfare in the spirit against principalities, against powers, against spiritual hosts, against evil forces in the spirit, not in the natural. We want to fight in the natural. Now, in the Old Testament, in order to take ground in the natural, they would have to do it in the natural. But now what we do is, the Old Testament is a type and shadow. In the New Testament, we have to take back spiritual territory. Once you've taken spiritual territory, you'll see how it will manifest into the natural. and cities change, communities transform, economies go up, crime goes down. That's what happens when the kingdom comes. When you see God begin to manifest himself on earth in the lives of individuals, you see the presence of God and people begin to change. Amen. So now, are you with me? All right. You made me change my whole sermon, but that's okay. That's okay. All right, so let's go back to our story. Let's go back to Joshua 6, verse number 3. Joshua 6, verse number 3. So in verse number 2, God says to him, "See, I have given Jericho into your hands, its kings and the mighty men of valor." It would be like God saying to you, "Listen, I want you to understand something. I have already defeated all principalities and powers. They are already under my feet. I have already made a spectacle of them on the cross when my son rose from the grave." Are you with me? The mighty men, the spiritual forces, the principalities have already been defeated. You are equipped with everything you need to go and take the city. But first, you have to see it. First, you have to see that that's who you are. First, you have to see that that's what's available to you before it will manifest. Then he says to them in verse number 3, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city. Once this you shall do 6 days. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." You see, the first thing that God will do is he will give you the strategy. So what God does is he says to Joshua, "Listen, Joshua, this is the way I want you to take the city. First, can you see it? Once you can see it, now I'm going to explain to you what I want you to do." You see, you must understand that God has already told us exactly what to do. The problem is, most of us don't know what that is. And you'll have to wait for that. So I want you to see that the first thing he does with the children of Israel is he gives them the strategy. Verse number 6, "Then Joshua the son of Nun," watch this, "called the priests." In other words, he calls the leaders and says to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.'" You see, first thing you have to do is you've got to get that the spiritual oversight, the spiritual leaders, and you've got to get them together, and you've got to get them into agreement. I know this, I hope you guys are okay with this. I'm speaking very prophetically to you tonight, okay? And so that's what happens. Then they share it with the people, and then the people get on board. That's why as a pastor, it's so important for me that my leaders see the vision. That they also believe that we are here to take the city. That we actually believe that God can turn our city inside out, upside down for Jesus. I really believe it. But I got to have people around me that can see it as well. Once I know they can see it too, then we go to the people and we say, "Right, this is what God wants to do. God wants to give us the city." In that situation, God says, "We must march around the walls. We got to get around the walls. We got to blow the trumpets. We got to do it for 6 days. And on the 7th day, we got to do something a little different. But don't worry, God's going to give us the city." And they look at the walls and they go, "Really?" And that's how you sometimes feel. Pastor Alex, this is impossible. Do you know Vero Beach? Do you know Indian River County? Do you know what the people are like? Do you know how many fortune tellers live in Fort Pierce? Oh, yes, I do. And you see, that's the thing. We need to know what we are up against. Listen to me, in the spirit. Because our battle's not against individuals. It's a spiritual battle. In order to take territory, we have to know what the spiritual climate is like. All right. So now we know the strategy. Let's go to Joshua. Let's jump to Joshua 6:15. Let's go to verse 15. Don't worry, I'm setting you all up. You're going to jump just now. Or a little bit later. Just now is the South African saying. Just now means in just a little bit. Okay? Joshua 6:15. But it came to pass on the seventh day. So this is the seventh day now. They've done everything the Lord has instructed them on the first 6 days. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day, only they marched around the city seven times. And on the seventh time, it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain the obscure things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Let's stop there for a moment. So we see, God says, "I want you to see it." He gets the leaders and everybody on board. Then they tell the people, the people, listen to me, follow the instruction of God. Even though it seems a little bit crazy, march around the city every day, get up, blow the trumpets. Then on the seventh day, I want you to go and do it so many times and then do it and then shout. It sounds a little bit crazy. You see, sometimes God requires us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. And in order for us to take a city, in order for us to take ground, you must understand that before you were the way you were, before you were saved, in your original state, you would have understood this. In other words, before man fell, this would be easy for you to understand. But because we fell and became natural, the spiritual things are hard for us to understand. So now I want to give you the blueprint that God says that what we need to do to take the city. Is that okay? So let's start in Corinthians. Let's go there. I like Corinthians, you know. Let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 3. Now watch. For though we walk in the flesh, watch this. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I want you to understand that God's weaponry is not carnal. God's weaponry is completely and entirely relying on Him. That's why the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Now, I don't want to get too technical. This really is speaking more of an individual person's life. But he says, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, what we have to understand is that we do not war in the flesh. We war in the spirit. So we must pick that thing up first. The first thing we need to understand is that that battle is not going to be a carnal battle. It is going to be a spiritual battle. The forces, strongholds, thoughts, and suggestions that the enemy wants to bring against us, we have to bring captive. Okay, now, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, I read it to you just a while ago, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now watch this. Let's go back there real quick. Let's go back to Ephesians 6, verse number 12. Actually, let's go to verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now watch. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now watch. Therefore, the first thing we have to do when we want to engage in battle is we have to put on the whole armor of God. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the evil, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Then he says, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Stop there. I want you to understand that he's telling you about the armor that you need to put on to be able to engage in battle. Every single one of those things, faith, truth, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're putting on the armor of God. You're putting on the truth of God's word. You are applying all of God's truth, all of who he is, faith, standing, equipped in God onto you before you go into battle. In other words, not my way, but his way. In other words, it's a spiritual thing. I'm putting on my armor. And then he says, now once you have your armor on, listen, I want to teach you about the armor, but I've done that so many times. Go get the teaching. Because I want to show you what he says once you have your armor on. Because this is the part that we miss. This is the part that we don't understand so very, very well all the time. Once you have your armor on, then he says this. He says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication where? Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Listen, once your armor is on, then you begin to wage warfare. Then you begin to come up against the enemy. Many scholars will say that one of the parts of the armor is the lance of intercession. If we want to take our city for Jesus, we have to put on our full armor, we have to put on God, and then we have to go in his way with all of him, truth, salvation, and we have to go into the city. And the way that we do it, to first get the foundation laid, is by doing it with prayer. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the foundation. Prayer, supplication, requests, fighting against who? Principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness. Are you with me? Intercession is the most powerful thing when it comes to striking the enemy. If you want to see our city transformed and changed, it's going to require intercession. Now, before we planted the church, I remember hearing that guy say to me, you have dirt under your nails. And I thought to myself, what does it mean? Now, what most of you may not know is that one thing that I was really able to catch from when I was a young Christian in my church where I was saved, is I caught the spirit of intercession. How many of you know the Bible says that the Spirit even makes intercession for us when we don't know what we should pray for? So I would pray for hours and I would labor in the Spirit and pray. Even in the Spirit I would pray, not even knowing what I'm praying. And I would pray and pray and pray. And I believe with all of my heart that while I'm praying and interceding, I'm laying a foundation. Now that's great, but it really becomes very powerful when the body of Christ comes together. You see, God was able to, through all of my intercession, give me the vision that I needed for me to do the work that I had to do. But in order for us to be able to take the city, as you can see in the story of Jericho, it doesn't require one person, it requires an entire army. So the intercession cannot be left up to one. It only becomes powerful when the whole army catches the vision, when the whole army is able to see. And so that's what happened with the children of Israel with Jericho, is that they were able to march around the walls. You see, intercession is like marching. It's like marching around the walls. You don't have the victory, and it feels like the barrier is right here. It feels like you're standing up against this thing that's in your way and you're not getting the breakthrough. That's exactly how a wall feels. Sometimes when you're interceding, that's exactly how it feels. Come on, somebody. We pray here corporately at the church every Wednesday and Saturday. And sometimes it's really hard. But we do it. And many pray at home. And what are we praying for? We're praying for our nation to be changed. We're praying for our city to be changed. But what are we doing? We are being obedient to God by doing battle, by waging war. Where? In the spirit. If we want to see our city changed, we've got to pray for our city to be changed. We've got to come against the forces of darkness that hold our city captive. The only way you're going to know exactly what we need to pray for in Vero Beach is if we ask the Lord. He's the one who's got to show us. And so that's what we do. We come together and we intercede as a group. Now that doesn't always have to be in a building, but as a people, we can come together and begin to pray. Pray against addiction. Pray against all forms of evil and all forms of perversion and all forms of witchcraft and fortune telling and all forms of corruption in our government. And we come against all those things in our region and we pray and we come against it. And it's like a wall. It's like a wall that we have to march around. But the truth is there someone that's willing to do it? Is there someone that's willing to see it and begin to take that step and actually go out and do it? Are you with me? I can only imagine, hey, that the children of Israel, after day number 3, were like, really? We're going to do this again? We're going to get up early at the crack of dawn and go march around the city? Nothing is happening. You know, there's a saying, if you do the same thing every time and the same result, change what you're doing. Day number 4, same result. Are you with me? But they believed. What did they believe? They believed the word of the Lord. Well, how do you know God wants to give you the city? Oh, he does. Oh, he does. I'm not saying that about me. I'm saying that about you. I just happen to believe it already. I'm able to see it already. The question is, are you? Now make it personal for just a moment, and then we'll come back to it corporate. This goes for your family. There might be a wall because of your child. There might be a wall in your business that needs intercession. You see, there are spiritual forces that don't want you to have a breakthrough. There are spiritual forces that don't want you to see your child get saved. There are spiritual forces that don't want your marriage to last. So there's a wall that you have to march around. And the only thing that you can do is fight in the spirit. What did God say? If we want to do warfare, put on the full armor of God. Once that armor's on, begin to pray with all prayers and supplication in the spirit. Are you with me? Oh, and then when you do that, you begin to see the mysteries of God. Come on, somebody. He begins to show you. He begins to speak to you. Well, he's talking about the mystery of Christ. I accept that with all acceptance. It's wonderful. The mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, which means I'm going to have destiny, purpose, authority, power. I'm going to be able to walk out the calling that he's given me. Come on, are you with me? That's okay with me. I'm fine with that. So the children of Israel took up the mandate. They marched around the city. They did exactly as the Lord said. And on the last day, they did it 7 times. And then Joshua said to them, now I want you to shout. Now I want you to shout like you really believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Let's put the verse up. Joshua 6, verse number 20. I think it's Joshua 6, guys. The last verse, verse number 20. There it is. Watch now. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpet. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout that the walls fell down. Now watch. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. Now watch. And they took the city. That's the word of the Lord to you today. If you are willing to stand in the gap, if you are willing to believe that God wants to raise up a remnant to save a city, to save a state, to save a nation, and we do it, I want you to know that if there is a people that will do that, what the Lord has called us to do, he will give us the city. He will give us a nation. He will give us more than we could ever imagine. That's what he's called you to do, but you have to step into it. Amen. Now, I want you to know, in my mind, I saw this a lot differently. But that's okay. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, why do you guys pray every week over the same stuff? Because I'm believing the same things to happen. But I would really love it if you came and joined us. Let's fill this prayer room on Wednesday mornings and Saturday mornings. And if you can't make it, pray with us at the same time at your home. But let me tell you something. They talk about a shout. I've been in prayer meetings, guys, where the atmosphere becomes so thick because the people are interceding with everything from within them. They're praying and interceding, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit has just completely taken over every one of us. And the sound that comes up is so powerful. And that sound, I want you to know, all of heaven hears. But not only does heaven hear, hell hears it too. And it serves notice to the enemy in this region. When God called us to Vera Beach, I came here and saw a revival. I came here and saw a city changed and transformed. I remember praying, this city, Vera Beach, belongs to Jesus. I believe that this whole entire city can be impacted and touched and people's lives can be changed. I'm tired of going to places and seeing young people, young boys that think they're girls. I don't judge them. I feel so sorry for them. They don't have identity. They don't know who they are. They don't know that God created them amazing just the way they are. Homosexuality rampant amongst our young people. Why? Because they don't have identity. Why? Because the church has lost its position to intercede. If we don't do it, I don't want to be here. We didn't come here to have church and have groups. We came here to make a difference in our city. We came here to make an impact in our city. You are here to make a change in our city. And if you think you got saved for you only, you've forgotten the most important part. Jesus said there are two different promises that are the most important, two commandments that are the most important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he also said your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Every person around you, brother. That's your neighbor. If you can love those that you look at and you judge them. Jesus said, love your enemies. I said to my dad the other day, that's really hard. And then he told me it's not hard for him. I was like, man, well, I'm jealous of you. It's hard for me. Well, I don't really have any enemies, so, you know, but if I did, okay? It's hard when someone's offended you, when someone's come against you. It's not hard to, like them, but it's hard to love them. Shouldn't be there. So I really believe that God is saying, don't forget why you are here. Because this church is called to do war. Amen. This church is called to make war against the enemy for the lives of the individuals that are broken and hurting, families that are torn apart, young people full of addiction that have lost their identity. I've never seen anything like it. We would never have dreamed of this even 10 years ago, what we're seeing today. I can't go anywhere anymore, and it's all around me. And all I'm saying is, where's the church? I'll tell you where they are. They're in their buildings. They've forgotten the mandate. So what do we need to do? We need to get some dirt under our nails. We need to begin to intercede. We need to wage warfare in the spirit so that the climate can change. And then we go out and evangelize. You see, when the fire falls in the church, straight after the fire fell in the church, when the fire fell with Elijah and the children of God turned back to him, the next thing he did was he poured out the rain. When the rain comes, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But there's always got to be a people or someone that will stand up against the forces of darkness. And I want you to know, you are called to do that. As a child of the Most High God, you are called to do that. Well, it's not my calling. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's the church's responsibility to make a difference in our community. And we're leaving the most important part. The Bible says, my house shall forever be a house of prayer. We can feed the poor, clothe the poor, help the orphans, do all those, and we must. But we must always remain a house of prayer. And intercession is the heartbeat of the church. That heartbeat will beat through our city and community and change the lives of thousands. That's why I said, I want to go after the lost. We don't have to go after the other people in churches. They're already in church. They're saved. Let's go after the people that are broken. Let's go after those young people that have lost their identity. Let's go after the family that's torn apart. And when you do it in the spirit first, the ground begins to become prepared. And then it's like once it's done in the spirit, it's easy. It happens on its own. God pours out his spirit into an entire community. And that's how revival comes. How many of you in this place want to see real revival? Amen. So I challenge you this evening. I keep wanting to say morning, but I haven't done it once. So I'm very proud of myself. I challenge you this evening. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about intercession some more, about standing in the gap. And more for an individual basis. But that's what we are called to do, guys. You and I. See, I think oftentimes if we can stop focusing on all our own problems and we begin to pray for other things, God will take care of your own problems.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.